Australia looks kind of like Indiana. Looks kind of like America. I'm talking about the beaches, of course. But no, seriously, Australia is a needy place. I don't know if you caught that or not, but there are hundreds of towns and cities all across America with no gospel preaching church at all. My favorite saying, I've got a few missionary quotes and slogans that I like to read every now and then. My favorite is one written by Robert Moffat, and he's the man who touched David Livingstone. And Robert Moffat was a missionary in Africa. Robert Moffat wrote, he said, "I can sometimes see in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." Now, can you imagine a missionary looking over his field that God has called him to and penning those words, "I can sometimes see in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been," knowing that even in his lifetime he wouldn't be able to reach them all. And when I look at the map of Australia and we're praying about where God would have us go, and I look at all the hundreds of towns and villages where no missionary has ever been, knowing that in my lifetime there's no way you could reach them all. So I'm here not only to ask you to pray for us and ask you to pray about supporting us, but I'm here to enlist workers. I got a chance to teach a boys' Sunday school class not too long ago, and I asked the boys, I think I mentioned to the kids this morning in junior church, that if I were to pay your way, if I were to buy your ticket to anywhere in the world and ask you to go soul winning for a year, and I paid your way, I said, how many of you boys would love to go? Of course, every hand went up. And I said, if I were to not only buy your ticket, but if I were to ship you and your family over there, and if I were to ship all your worldly goods over, and I were to take care of you while you were there, I said, how many of you would be willing to go for a year and just go soul winning for a year? And of course, every hand went up. And I said, you know what? Someone made that same proposition for me. Someone is buying our tickets. Someone is shipping our stuff over there. Somebody's paying for my whole family to be able to go to Australia. And someone is taking care of us while we're going to be there and go soul winning and start a church. And that's God. And if God can do it for us and the many hundreds and thousands of missionaries that have gone before us, God can do it for you. And God will. If we, like Abraham, will just step out in faith. If God has spoken to your heart, and I believe he has, I don't believe I can step foot in any Baptist church in the country, any independent Baptist church, and find a person that God, whose heart God hasn't touched and who God doesn't want to go. I believe we all feel the burden. I believe some of us feel the call, and I believe some of us aren't doing anything with it. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And let me just say by way of testimony, I was saved at the age of 15. And I remember walking forward in the service, preacher wanting to be saved, knowing that if I didn't, I was going to die and go to hell. I knew it. And I walked forward in the church service, and my pastor took me by the hand, told me how proud he was of me, sat me on the front pew, and prayed for me. When the service was over, the whole church got up and filed around and shook my hand and told me how proud they were of me. But nobody opened the Bible. Nobody showed me how I could know for sure I was going to heaven. And this is a Baptist church. I was mad, frustrated, scared, didn't know what to do. I walked back to my seat, and it probably had been there the whole time, but the first time I noticed it was a gospel tract sitting in the songbook in front of me. And I don't know why, but I just picked up the track and put it in my Bible. And walked home. When I got home, and sat on my bed, and I pulled that track out, and I read through that track. And I know from that day to this that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Not because I read a track, not because I prayed a prayer, but because in my heart, I needed something, and I knew it. I needed a Savior to do something for me that I could not do for myself. And I prayed and asked God to do that for me. I prayed and asked Christ to save me. And from that day to this, I know I'm saved. Now again, not because I did a list of things. Not because someone gave me a list. No one I knew how to help me. It was God Almighty, I believe, that gave me that track. And God helped me. Now, if you're here tonight, listen. Of course, you're here tonight. But listen, we here tonight, please, if God speaks to your heart, please don't hesitate. Do something about it. Especially if you're here and you're not saved, please do something about it. Don't leave this service tonight not knowing that heaven is your home. Don't leave this service tonight not knowing that Christ is your Savior. There's nothing in the world that I would trade for my salvation. Nothing in the world. And there's not a whole lot I wouldn't do for you if you needed the gospel. If you needed to know for sure you're going to heaven. Now, again, as a 15-year-old boy, my preacher took me to a preaching conference, and it was there that God got a hold of my heart. God called me to preach, and I felt the call very early to the mission field. And my preacher, when I got back home, I was excited about telling him that, you know, God had called me to preach, and I felt God wanted me to go to the mission field. And my preacher gave me a preaching tape, and I mentioned this to the pastor today, but my preacher gave me a preaching tape. And the preacher on the tape, his name had been written in smudges, and I think the sermon had been written out in smudges. And I didn't know who the guy was or what the title of the sermon was. All I know is he hacked and coughed a lot. And everything he said just was amazing to me, just gripped my soul. It was just incredible. And I listened to that tape over and over and over and over again. Well, when I was when I turned 18, I joined the Army. I knew I needed money to go to college, and I had plans to get out and go back to Florida and go to Bible college. But while I was in the service, I got invited out to a church, an independent fundamental Baptist church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And it was there that for the first time ever, I stepped foot in an independent Baptist church. And wow, some great preaching. Just some great preaching. And the only college they recommended was Hiles Anderson College. So that's okay. That's where I went. My first semester there, we were setting up a room for pastor school. And we set up an 8mm tape in the corner showing Brother Hiles preaching fresh oil. And it wasn't until then that I realized that God had brought me full circle. That was the tape that my Southern Baptist pastor gave me as a 15-year-old boy. And I thank God that I can look back and see God moving in my life. And I thank God that He has done that. I know, just as I know I'm saved, I know from that day until this that I am right where I need to be. I am smack dab in the middle of God's will. And I'm so thankful for that. I am so thankful. We just want to get to Australia and do for them and do there what you've done here. Start a church and see folks saved. And we'd like to start as many as possible in my lifetime, as many as possible. I have a goal, and if you ask me later, I'll tell you what it is. But I have a goal. I believe God's going to use us to start a church. And we covet your prayers. And thank you for the opportunity to come and to share our burden for Australia. You open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 14. You're there and I'm not. Let me turn there real quickly. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. I know it's in here somewhere. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 14. I just want to read this one verse, and then we'll jump into the message and we'll get you out of here in just a few minutes. Romans 1, verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now let me have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll jump into the message. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Lord, we thank you for giving us a home in heaven. And God, we thank you for the home that you've given us here on earth. Not only our family home, Lord, that we get to share with hopefully many family members this holiday season, but Lord, our church home. Lord, please bless our church home in Kokomo. Bless Brother Holloway as he gets up and speaks tonight. And God, I pray you'd bless our service here. Bless our time spent together here. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help me to say what it is you'd have me to say. Lord, for the good and benefit of these people. Lord, you know and I know that I don't have anything in and of myself to bring them that will do them any good. But God, we rest on you. They came here expecting to hear from you. And I stepped up here expecting them to have just that. Lord, please speak through me. Give me the words to say. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time. Help us to see the need, Lord, that we can fill. Help us to see the need that you've called us to fill. Lord, help us to yield ourselves afresh and anew tonight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Paul was quite a missionary. Quite a missionary. I don't think he was the first missionary. I mentioned in the junior church this morning how in Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned. And, of course, God wasn't surprised about that. But when they did, he came down to meet them. He came down out of heaven, came to earth, walking in the garden in the cool of the day and looking for them, calling out their name, Adam, Adam, where art thou? So I know that God was the first missionary. Jesus was the first missionary. And I believe that Paul was one of the best. Was one of the best. Here, Paul, let me just go back a few verses and read. Look at verse number 11. Romans chapter 1, I want to start reading verse number 11. Let's read just a few verses together. For I long to see you, he said, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you. He said, I wanted to be with you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, he says, both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. What a missionary. What a missionary. Giving of himself, yielding of himself, going when nobody else wanted to go, persecuted, and he didn't quit. He didn't stop. And he was always wanting to do more, always willing to go and do more, just waiting for the Holy Spirit's leading. Always willing and ready to preach. But this word debtor here is the one I want to look at tonight, and I want us to look at here tonight. I'm not going to keep you very long, but this word debtor, I like this word. This word is translated in one other place in the Bible. It's translated sinner. Now, when you think about that, we're all sinners. We know that. And any of us who are saved, that's the first thing that we had to come to grips with before we got saved, was that we are sinners. But you know what? The word debtor here, it means someone who is an ower, or someone who is indebted. And again, translated another place, sinner. Now, I like that. I owe God something. My sin, I'm indebted to God. Now, God saved me. Now, my debt doesn't stop. Now that God has saved me, much more indebted to God because of my salvation. But I am an ower. I like that. I am an ower. Brother R.B. Willett mentions that he went out soul winning one time. He walked up to a door and knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door, so he left a track at the door. And he's walking away, and there was a for sale sign in the front yard. So he's walking back out the sidewalk and gets to the gate and just about to walk out. And the lady walks up. She goes, hi, hello, how are you? He goes, good, how are you? She said, are you the owner? He said, do I look like an owner? She said, well, yes, you do. And he said, well, I do have a mansion, but this is not it. And then, he proceeded to witness to her. But I kind of like that. I'm an owner, but I am an ower tonight. I am an ower. We are owers. We are debtors. We are debtors to God. Now, real quickly, I want to show you three people to whom all of us, everyone in this building, owes a debt. There's just three. Just three groups of people to whom all of us, no matter our age, no matter our education, no matter our size, no matter our disposition, no matter our attitude, there are three people to whom we all owe a debt. And I'd like to say, number one, we are debtors to the Lord. We are debtors to the Lord. Now, that's pure and simple. That's cut and dry. That's basic, isn't it? We are debtors to the Lord. Paul regarded himself as a debtor to all men because God had saved his soul. And writing to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said in verse 19 and 20, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. Christians, we are debtors tonight to God for his salvation. We are debtors to God for his salvation. Now, think of what Christ has done for us. Not only has he created us, God created us, but he cares for us. And I could quote scripture all night, but God cares for us. He loves us. He sought for us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God seeks for us. He searches for us. He sought for us. He found us. Amen? He finds us in our own sin, and he died for us. I mean, look at what all Christ has done for us. And everything that God has done, we owe him a debt. A debt, a great debt. God died for us. Jesus saved us by faith in him. He gave us eternal life. He bought me. He owns me. And he has prepared a work for me. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what I'm doing on deputation? Exactly what God wants us to do. You know, I'm in the will of God. I know that. I know that, and I know that. And I know that right now I am doing what God foresaw me doing. right here and right now. You know what we're going to do in Australia? Exactly what God wants us to do in Australia. Because God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And as we are yielded to the Spirit, and as we are sold out to Him, and as we give ourselves over to the Lord to do His will and His work, He will guide us, the Bible says, into all truth, and He will guide our steps. He has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are debtors to the Lord because of our salvation. We are debtors to the Lord because of Calvary. Let me read this little poem. Because of Calvary, today I have found peace, a peace long sought in worldly paths of sin, a peace that slipped elusive through enchanted ways and vanished ere I gained an entrance in. Because of Calvary, today I have found joy, a joy that will not tarnish nor grow dim, a joy that will not perish with the using, but constant, radiant, glows as some bright gem. Because of Calvary, today I have found hope, a blessed hope, amen, that brightens all my way, a hope to which I cling steadfast, secure, that I shall see my Lord some glorious day. Because of Calvary, may this thought shape my life beyond today. May this, that He who died eternal life to give, is now to me the life, the truth, the way. Because of Calvary, O Lord, no longer I delay. Because of all Thy love has done for me, today I yield my life, my love, my all, Thine evermore, because of Calvary. You know, we are debtors to the Lord. Thank God He saved us, and we are debtors to the Lord. Look at all He's done for us. He saved us by His mercy, by His grace. God saved us. He gave His only Son to die on the cross to pay our sin debt, something that He did not owe, a just debt that I owed and I had to pay. But in His love and His mercy, He chose to die on the cross, and He gave it to me. He gave it to us. Something He wants to give to us. You know, He's been trying 2,000 years to get it to us. And we keep spurning Him. We keep saying no. And when we do get saved, He wants us to go. He wants us to do. He wants us to live more abundantly. And still we spurn Him. And still we say no. Yet we are debtors to the Lord because of Calvary. And we should be thankful. We should be thankful. The Apostle Paul had something in him that would not let him turn his back on the Lord or on the lost. He had gratitude. The gratitude through which the Spirit prompted him to write in chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about looking back and seeing what God has done for us and letting that prompt you to surrender yourself and your lives to the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, he said. Look back and see what God has done for you, and let that prompt you to live for the Lord and to do something for the Lord and to give your life to the Lord. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, gratitude is one of the loveliest flowers that blooms in the garden of the human heart. And when that flower withers and dies in the heart of any man, that man is well nigh hopeless. Well nigh hopeless. We are indebted to the Lord. We owe God tonight. We owe God. If you're sitting here and you're a child of God, you owe God. If you're sitting here and you're breathing tonight, you owe God. If you can grab your arm and feel the pulse beating, you owe God. If you enjoy the food this afternoon and a nap in a comfortable bed, you owe God. If you woke up in America this morning, you owe God. If you woke up and could and didn't have to catch your breath but breathe easily, you owe God. Listen, if you're here this morning, you got warm clothes to put on, you owe God. If you get to go home in a heated car to a heated house, you owe God. Listen, we're Americans. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we owe God for that. We have a gospel message that nobody else can enjoy who's not saved. We have a gospel message. We owe God. God has given us so many blessings. We owe God. We are debtors to the Lord. We are debtors to the Lord. We owe God because of salvation. We owe God because of heaven. We owe God because of a hell that we're going to miss because He loved us and shed His mercy on us. Christian, Jesus Christ has saved us from hell and more. We are under infinite obligation. We are debtors to God because of all this and heaven too. We are debtors to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to pay? How are you going to pay? We owe God. We are debtors to the Lord. How are you going to pay? I'm not asking a church. I'm asking you individually. How are you going to pay? Are you a debtor? Every one of us. Do we owe God? Yes, we do. How are you going to pay? We are debtors to the Lord. I like a bumper sticker I saw one time. It said, I owe, so off to work I go. You know, the seven, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I owe, it's off to work I go. Now, I'm not going to sing a special up here, but I like that. Now, let's take that and kind of transfer it to this message. We owe, so off to work we go. We owe God a debt. And listen, we can live our entire lives and never pay God back, but He wants us to try, amen? He wants us to see the fact that we do owe Him, that we are indebted to Him. And even though we can live 1,000 lives and never pay Christ back for the life that He lived and died and shed on the cross, we can never pay Him back for that. But we ought to try. We ought to try. We owe God something. We are debtors to the Lord. Not only are we debtors to the Lord, but listen, number two, and I'm moving quickly, we are debtors to the saved. We are debtors to the Lord, number one. Number two, we are debtors to the saved. We are debtors to the saved because through them, we enjoy the lives that we lead. We enjoy the lives that we lead. Now, I love Baptist history. And if you haven't read Brother Beller's book, American Crimson Red, boy, I picked that book up and could not put it down. It's an amazing book. But I've read a lot of Baptist history, and I love Baptist history. But you know what we have today, we enjoy because of Baptists who have come before us? And not just Baptists only, but saved people who've come before us. And whatever they were called, whatever their names, Anabaptists, whatever you want to call them before, they paid a price. You know, we owe a debt tonight because of the saved that have come before us. Not just Christ and what He paid on the cross, but the saved folks who came before us and laid out this bloody trail that we follow. We are debtors to those who have come before us, those who have paved the way for us, those who have sacrificed, those who have fought, and those who have died to deliver the truth that I hold and the manner in which I hold it. I owe a debt tonight. I get to stand visiting in a church, but I get to stand behind a pulpit tonight and cry aloud and spare not. And I get to, by the grace of God and through His Spirit, I get to hopefully influence some people for good and for God in America. Wow, what a wonderful God. What a wonderful opportunity. Now, I hope you see tonight the fact that we owe God something, not just for the cross where He died and the salvation that He purchased, and heaven too, but because of the saved that have come before us. You know, we have a Bible tonight. You have a Bible tonight because of the faithfulness of the saved that have come before us. God delivered His written word to us through men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. We owe them a debt. We owe them a debt tonight. We have a church because of the tenacity and temerity of the saved that have come before us. You know, you can't meet like this in every country in the world. You can't meet like this. We get to enjoy it. Thank God. We owe a debt tonight. We owe a debt. I heard Brother House say it once. I probably heard him say it 100 times. Our garages that we have in America are more space and better taken care of than most homes in the world. Most homes in the world. We're a blessed people. We are so blessed. We owe a debt. We have schools, Bible colleges, mission agencies, mission boards, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and we owe them a great debt. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're saved, and you know you're saved, you owe this man a debt. You owe this man a debt. You owe the people whose sacrifices and whose money and whose lives made this church a reality. You owe them a debt. We are debtors tonight, not just to God, but to the saved that have come before us. We are debtors. We are debtors to all those that have had an influence on us. We are debtors. If you're a parent tonight, your children owe you a debt. If you're a child and you have a parent in this building, you owe them a debt. You owe them a debt. Listen, you owe your parents a debt. And this is aimed at my children. You owe your parents a debt. No, I'm teasing. But listen, as children, we owe a debt. I didn't realize, I guess I kind of had some idea, but I didn't realize how much parents went through for their children. You know, my dad's not as dumb as I thought he was. Now, my dad's in heaven tonight, and he knows the score. He knows I love him. But boy, I didn't realize how much pain that I put him through. I owe my parents a debt. And as a young man, preacher boy, in a Baptist church growing up, boy, my pastor was so gracious and so kind and so forgiving. I owe my pastor a debt. And my God, whom I disappoint every day, but who I try to please, I owe my God a debt. We are debtors tonight. We are great debtors. We owe God. And we owe the saved that had come before us. We are debtors to those that fought and died to put the Scriptures into print. We are debtors. We owe those churches that supplied and supported the Apostle Paul on his missionary journey. You know, the fact is, we probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul and the churches that supplied and supported him while he was on mission field, while he traveled from church to church, starting churches, encouraging pastors, winning folks to Christ. We owe a debt. Number one, we're debtors to the Lord. Number two, we're debtors to the saved. And let me ask you this question. How are you going to pay? How are you going to pay? Are you going to quit and run? Are you going to stop living for the Lord when the times get tough? Or are you going to look back and see this long, honorable line of sacrificial men and women who've paid their debt? That ought to encourage you to keep going. To keep going. We're debtors to the saved that have come before us. How are you going to pay tonight? How are you going to pay? Number one, we're debtors to the Lord. Number two, we are debtors to the saved. And lastly, we are debtors to the lost. We are debtors to the lost. In Luke chapter 16, story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I like the story, but when the rich man, of course, the rich man died, and the Bible says, and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom afar off, and I'm paraphrasing, but he sees Lazarus, the beggar who had lain outside his door, outside his gate, for days, months, perhaps years, and he begs Abraham to send Lazarus. All he wants him to do is to dip his finger, not a pitcher, not a cup, not a blanket. He wants him just to dip his finger in water and to come over and touch his tongue with one drop of water to cool his tongue. He said, "For I am tormented in this flame." Of course, you know the dialogue that went back and forth between Abraham and the rich man. He said, "No, there's a great gulf betwixt us, you and me." He said, "You can't come over here and we can't come over there." And he said, the rich man said this. He said, "Well, at least send Lazarus back to tell my five brothers about this place and not to come here." He said, "First of all, please dip your finger in some water and come and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you can't do that, at least send Lazarus back to tell my five brothers not to come here. To tell my five brothers to change. Tell my five brothers to get saved. Tell my five brothers to trust Christ. Tell my five brothers not to come here." And Abraham said, they wouldn't listen. He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They've got the Scriptures. They've got the Bible. They know the plan. They have it available to him. And if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets," he said, "then neither will they listen, though one was raised from the dead." Now, we cannot go to them in hell tonight. Tonight, we as Christians in this room cannot go to hell tonight. We can't go there and comfort the lost that are in hell. We cannot dip our finger in water and cool their tongue. We can't leave this room tonight and fly down to hell and quench the flames that are tormenting the damned in hell. We cannot shorten their punishment. We cannot pull them from the fire. We cannot do anything tonight to physically comfort those in hell. The only thing we can do for that rich man is to tell his brothers, his five brothers. You know, that's the only relief that we can bring to the lost in hell, is to go out and tell their brothers and their sisters. You know, we owe a debt tonight. We owe a debt tonight, not only to the Lord who saved us, not only the God who gave us salvation, who made heaven possible, who is going to keep us from hell and give us a home in heaven to spend with Him in eternity. Not only has He done that, but God has given us a wonderful, abundantly available Christian life here on the earth that has been given to us down through the centuries by men of God that have walked before us. We owe a debt to God. We owe a debt to the saved that had gone before us. And we owe a debt to the lost tonight. We owe a debt to the lost. If you could, wouldn't you want to go and be a help to those in hell? If you could. If God would make it available to you, and God would clothe you in such a way that you would not feel the heat in any way, shape, or form, wouldn't you at least want to go and try to be a help to those in hell tonight? Wouldn't you want to go and dip your finger at least in water and cool someone's tongue in hell? If you could, wouldn't you want to go and take a pitcher of water or maybe unload a whole boatload of water into hell to cool the flames and to cool those who are dying and are damned in hell? Wouldn't you want to if you could? But we can't. But we can't. Wouldn't you want to if you could to comfort those in hell in some way, shape, or form? If you could, wouldn't you want to carry water to those in hell? If you could, wouldn't you want to try to pull them from the fire? If you could. But since you can't, won't you do the only thing you can do? Won't you go and tell someone? We owe a debt tonight. We owe a debt to God Almighty. We owe a debt to the saved that had come before us, and we owe a debt to the lost. Not only the lost that are dying in hell tonight, but those who are dying here on the earth and are on their way to hell. We owe a debt. We owe a debt to tell them. We can go. Listen, the rich man in hell couldn't go. He was stuck. That's where he's going to spend all of eternity. He's going to get out one day and stand before God, the great white throne of judgment, and then he's going to be cast back into the lake of fire, the Bible says. He's going to be there for all eternity. He cannot go and tell his family anymore. But we can. We can. We must go. We must go no matter what the cost. No matter the cost. We must go no matter where they are found. We must go. We owe a debt. I love the song, "We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. We've a message to give to the nations. That the Lord who reigneth above has sent us His Son to save us and show us that God is love. We've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow hath trod that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God." You know, we owe God tonight. We owe the saved and we owe the lost something. We owe the lost something. A young man recently asked me if I thought he'd been called into the ministry. And I told him, if you're a Christian, you're already in the ministry. If you're a Christian, you're already in the ministry. If you're a Christian, listen, we're already in the ministry. I told him, I said, you may be derelict in your duty, but you are in the ministry. Someone told General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, that they weren't called to tell others about Jesus. General Booth said, "Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear Him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and tell their sisters and tell their brothers and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy we have professed to obey, and tell Him whether you will go and give and do all in your power to publish His salvation to the world." We owe a debt. We must go because we are debtors. We are debtors. We must give because we are Christians. And we must win them because the alternative is hell. You know, we must go because we are debtors to every man. Listen, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. We are debtors to every man to give him the gospel, the same gospel. We are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. We must give because our generation of Christians are responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. We must win them because the alternative is inconceivable. Inconceivable. Let me ask you something. If you had a cure for cancer, a diehard cure for cancer, wouldn't it be inconceivable for us to keep that to ourselves and not be a help, a life-giving help to those who are dying of the disease? How much worse in character are we who have a cure for those who are lost in sin, a living cure for those who are lost in sin and never tell? And never tell. We are debtors to the Lord. We are debtors to the saved. And we are debtors to the lost. And let me ask you this. How are you going to pay? How are you going to pay? How will you pay? We're debtors tonight. None of us would think of faulting on our home loan. We wouldn't think twice. And we don't think twice of paying our mortgage payment. You know, when it comes time to pay for our car, that new car, we pay it. Credit card debt, we pay it. Medical bill, we pay it. We wouldn't think twice of defaulting on a loan and not making a payment. Tonight, we're debtors to the Lord. We are debtors to the saved. And we're debtors to the lost. How are you going to pay? How will you pay? How is God telling you tonight how you need to pay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for saving us. And God, we pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to listen as we've never listened before. Help us to listen for your voice speaking to our hearts. And Lord, tell us how you'd want us to pay. Lord, we see that we're debtors. We know we're debtors. We're debtors to you, Lord, all the many blessings you've given us. Lord, we're debtors to the saved. Lord, those hearts whom you have touched to do a work for you in the past. And Lord, we're debtors to the lost. You've given us something to say to them. You've given us a message to carry to them. You've given us a gospel to give to them in the same measure in which we have received it. God, help us. Help us to see our debt. Help us to see what we owe. And Lord, help us to hear and obey what you're telling us to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, God can see your heart tonight and he can see mine. God knows if you're one of his. God knows if you're a child of his. God knows who belongs to him and who doesn't. And if tonight maybe you are sitting here and you don't know for sure that if you died you'd go to heaven, please don't leave this service without taking care of it. Please let me pray for you. Least I can do is pray for you. I'd love to tell you, but least I can do is pray for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know 100% sure that if you died you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come back to you after service. But if you don't know that heaven's your home tonight, would you please raise your hand and let me pray for you? All right. Christians, as we stand and as the music starts to play, everyone standing, as the music plays, I'd simply ask you, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, to obey the Lord. If the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, you respond. If God has spoken to your heart, if God has something that he wants you to do, God has somewhere he wants you to go, if God has something that he wants you to give or give up, however the Lord has spoken to your heart, this invitation time is a time to respond.